Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. The Able Trust, believing growth and productivity of Florida depends on a diverse and inclusive workforce. The Able Trust encourages all businesses to include talented Floridians with disabilities as vital staff members. More information is at abletrust.org. And from Florida Tax Watch Prudential Productivity Awards, recognizing and rewarding Florida's innovative state employees for their cost-saving ideas on June 23rd in Tampa. Sponsored by Prudential, the Florida Lottery, and AvMed Health Plans. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
This week is a special start of the Atlantic hurricane season Capitol Report, as local emergency management directors worry Floridians are complacent this hurricane season.
They tend to forget what kind of damage a storm can do, and they tend to not get their stuff together because they're thinking, well, it's going to be like last year.
Also this week, while the state's performing its own storm preparedness exercises, officials worry citizens won't take similar steps to ensure they're ready. They say many Floridians don't understand the risk.
Millions of new Floridians have come to the state, and even folks who were in Florida during those last series of hurricanes may not have been impacted by them.
We'll also get an update on new storm technology and learn the latest on the state's vulnerability when it comes to insurance coverage. I'm Tom Flanagan, and this is Capitol Report. It's been just a little more than a week since the official start of the 2016 Atlantic hurricane season, but already there have been three named storms formed in the Atlantic this year. That includes a tropical storm that hit the Gulf Coast this week. Local emergency management directors worry that the 11 years without a landfall major hurricane has made residents complacent, as we hear from Tori Whitley.
During Tropical Storm Colin, Tallahassee residents fought floods by making sandbags. William Mills says he's saving these sandbags for another rainy day, literally and figuratively. And
this will probably be the first year that I will actually save the sandbags, because most of the times you don't save them. You throw them out in your yard, and then the sandbags end up in your shop, and you end up throwing them away. So this, I'm going to get, the older you get, the smarter you get, hopefully.
That's also the hope that local emergency management directors have, but some of them fear that the lull in hurricane activity in Florida makes residents downplay the threat. A hurricane hasn't made landfall in Florida since 2005, which worries Pamela Brownell, the emergency management director in Franklin County.
People get displaced. They tend to forget what kind of damage a storm can do, and they tend to not get their stuff together because they're thinking, well, it's going to be like last year.
Brownell has just finished navigating through Tropical Storm Colin, where a tourist drowned. The storm also made a big hit on Alligator Point in St. George Island. She says her organization is prepared for the upcoming hurricane season, but says it's important for Franklin County citizens and tourists to have a plan for themselves, too.
If our citizens of Franklin County are prepared, then we're ready. But this office is ready. We're ready to react, respond, and recover. But your best plans are just plans unless your people are ready and they take them seriously. And I'm afraid that after not having a storm for so many years that people are not going to be ready.
This fear of complacency resounds in other emergency management centers further away from the coast. Madison County Emergency Director Alan Wiggum worries residents don't perceive hurricanes as a threat because of the county's geographic location.
A lot of people think because of our location and our terrain that we're exempt of getting any type of effect from a hurricane, and that is wrong.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration predicted there will be 10 to 16 storms this year, and there are millions of new Floridians who have never experienced a major system, says Scott Nelson, the Emergency Management Director for Wakulla County.
If you look at people who are new that have moved to the area, we've got quite a few people that have not seen the impacts directly of some of these larger storms.
Nelson has some word of advice for these new Floridians.
The bottom line is it only takes one. Andrew was an A storm. It hit in August. It really depends on where they hit and how significant they are. So for us, a tropical storm is significant to the residents that it impacts. So we certainly, we watch the chances of having this be a more significant year. But again, if we only have one and it impacts us, it's too many.
Local emergency directors warn residents not to get too comfortable this hurricane season and to have an emergency plan ready in case of a major storm. This includes an independent survival pack that can last at least 72 hours and an evacuation plan in case of a dangerous storm. To stay informed this hurricane season, visit news.wfsu.org. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Tori Whitley.
Well, as we heard, the state of Florida has not taken a direct hurricane hit in more than a decade. And as we hear from Ryan Bank at member station WJCT in Jacksonville, that fact has state emergency managers concerned that residents might not be prepared.
It's pouring rain at the Camp Landing National Guard base southwest of Jacksonville. A group of large high-tech RVs are huddled in a parking lot. State Emergency Response Team spokesman Aaron Gallagher pulls open one of the vehicle's heavy metal doors.
This is the mobile command vehicle. Inside here, it gives us the capability to bring our operations into the field.
Computer monitors showing storm tracks and weather forecasts line the walls. Otherwise, it looks like a typical office trailer. A team member lounges in a meeting room at one end of the mobile command center. A copy machine sits at the other. Normally, Florida's response to disasters like hurricanes or terrorist attacks is coordinated from Tallahassee. But Gallagher says, today, everything the team needs is right here.
A lot of the same sections and components you'll see in the State Emergency Operations Center can be found in here. You'll find a logistics section, finance section, and geographic information system section.
State officials test hurricane responses every year, and every 5 years, they test the mobility and efficiency of their contingency plans by taking their act on the road. In this year's practice scenario, Division of Emergency Management Director Brian Kuhn says Florida is dealing with several disasters at the same time.
Some intelligence indicated that government buildings were targeted, and there actually had, as part of the exercise, been some attacks on government buildings. So we deemed it that it would be better to operate out of Camp Blanding because there was a tropical storm coming towards Florida, Hurricane Kimo.
Kuhn says the exercise is a massive coordinated effort between all the state's agencies and the Coast Guard, and not a single detail can slip through the cracks. But he also admits he's worried about the storm that could be coming in real life. He thinks Sunshine State residents have grown complacent and may not take the threat of another hurricane seriously. A recent study by AAA would suggest he's right. Last year, the organization's consumer pulse survey found nearly half of Floridians aren't actively preparing for hurricanes, and a fifth said they wouldn't consider evacuating their homes. Again, Brian Kuhn.
Millions of new Floridians have come to the state, and even folks who were in Florida during those last series of hurricanes may not have been impacted by them. So we've got lots of Floridians who don't know what it's like to go through a hurricane.
But Kuhn says it's not hard to prepare with resources like the state's FL Get a Plan website. People can also track storms and get geo-targeted weather alerts through the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network's Florida Storms app, or by tuning in to the state's public radio stations for up-to-the-minute info when a storm is approaching. Ryan Bank, 89.9 WJCT News.
Still to come on Capitol Report, as officials monitor planned evacuation routes for the hurricane season, some worry road construction could grind traffic to a halt. It's something emergency planners say they've seen before.
As far as you can see to the south, and as far as you can see to the north, you know, it was just absolutely clogged and traffic was barely even moving.
Officials say technology can be a big help in keeping citizens informed about approaching storms, but only if residents are using it and only if it works.
I can tell you from experience, not just from hurricanes, but like when we have our festival down here, that the towers just become overloaded and they don't work.
So-called Hurricane Hunter planes that help track the storms are looking for a new home.
MacDill Air Force Base informed us on February 1st that we were going to be displaced and had to leave our current facility next June. And so we've got a little bit of time, but not much.
And as hurricane season's off and running, officials are looking at what that means for the Florida insurance market. While wind can be a major concern during hurricanes, the rain and floods that come with the storms can impact Floridians too.
I thought the water would be just maybe up to the top of the sills and opening the door and a fish swam out.
It's not just resident complacency that has disaster officials worried. Florida's population along its coasts has boomed in the 11 years since the last big storms. That, combined with miles of construction on major highways, could make evacuating ahead of a storm an even bigger headache if and when one or more storms strike this hurricane season. We get that story from Catherine Welch at member station WMFE in Orlando.
When Hurricane Floyd came barreling down in 1999, millions of people fled Florida's Atlantic coast. Traffic crawled along congested highways. Out of Jacksonville, cars moved at a snail's pace along I-10. Jim Judge was working in emergency management in Sumter County in 2004 when one storm after another hit the state. He remembers pulling up onto an overpass on I-75 and gazing down at the miles and miles of traffic.
As far as you could see to the south and as far as you could see to the north, you know, it was just absolutely clogged and traffic was barely even moving.
Judge is now Volusia County's emergency management director, and not far from the Daytona International Speedway, there's construction on both I-95 and I-4. You bet that makes him nervous.
I mean, it's hardly three or four times a week anymore that I-95 or I-4 is closed due to vehicle accidents.
Across Florida, major roads like I-75, I-10, and I-95 are under construction, lined with orange barrels as roadwork shifts traffic along fewer lanes. Florida Department of Transportation spokeswoman Jessica Ottaviano says requirements have been baked into contracts with construction companies to make sure the roads are as clear as possible ahead of a storm.
Their goal and their job is going to be out there securing all the equipment, whether it's moving it off the corridor to the laydown yard or if it can indeed stay in place as long as it's secured, like the crane arms secured and things like that.
Larry LaHue is a senior planner with Volusia County's Emergency Management. His peers across the state are well aware of all the road work and factored that into their evacuation times. What worries him is a number he heard at a recent hurricane conference, that 40% of Florida's population has never experienced a tropical storm or hurricane.
What every emergency manager is concerned about is when we order an evacuation, that people who haven't experienced a tropical storm or hurricane aren't going to understand or take it seriously, and they'll stay home.
An evacuation plan on the books, but never used, is called contraflow. That's where traffic on, say, I-95 would all flow in one direction. It takes a lot of resources to make sure everyone's driving the same direction, and one tiny mishap can grind traffic to a halt. Also, LaHue says, a new study found that for all of that work, contraflow only reduces evacuation times by an hour.
So it seems like that's an awful lot of effort and expense to increase clearance times by 1 hour. So I think that contraflow might be revisited next time there's an evacuation.
While the planners fine-tune their evacuation routes, emergency managers like Volusia County's Jim Judge stress the basics. Get ready. Stock up on supplies, make a plan, and then spend a sunny day driving around to find a back road to safer ground. When asked about predictions for this year's hurricane season, he shrugs.
We're going to treat them all the same. We're going to prepare, and we're going to plan, we're going to train, and we're going to exercise as if we're going to get hit hard. And, you know, that's the only way we can operate.
And at the end of the day, you just knock on wood.
Amen to that.
I'm Catherine Welch in Orlando.
Florida emergency management officials have been scrambling to improve their severe weather alert systems, pouring $12 million into a 40-month-long project. But Marie Ettinger reports there's still a long way to go.
The last time a hurricane hit Florida, Facebook was still limited to college campuses, and Twitter wasn't even invented. The most recent hurricane to make landfall in Florida was Hurricane Wilma in 2005. Before the time of smartphones and social media, the only way to be notified of approaching hurricanes was through calls to your landlines. But by now, that system has changed. vastly, and not everyone hears about severe weather headed their way.
Until it happens, people don't really take it as seriously.
That's Amanda Ford from Dixie County. Last August, her entire neighborhood flooded, and she says there wasn't a soul in the area who had seen it coming or done anything to prepare. Nowadays, there are different apps you can download onto your smartphones that'll send out alerts so you can prepare your family and home or even leave the area. But if you don't have those apps, you might not hear about severe weather. That's what Brian Kuhn, the director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management, is trying to fix with his system, Alert Florida.
We're starting off with the idea that until we started a statewide system just recently, parts of Florida had the ability to communicate to its citizens about dangers in the area and what to take, but large chunks of the state did not.
Kuhn says Alert Florida is designed to provide that baseline capability across the state, but not everyone knows apps like this exist. Amanda says she certainly didn't when her house flooded. She runs a tiny little barbershop in Cross City.
Y'all have a good one.
It's been in her family for generations, with an old wind chime out front and a chair inside that's been in that spot since the 60s. Last year, after a regular rainstorm, her home had such bad flood damage, she, her husband, and her three kids had to move into that barbershop, along with another family.
It was madness. It was really heartbreaking, too. You know, I didn't get a lot of help from county officials.
This time last year, Amanda didn't have any way of hearing about severe weather, and she hadn't really sought one out. Florida Emergency Management says many people, like Amanda, don't really anticipate what a beast weather can be in Florida. So the first steps emergency management is trying to take are on educating Florida residents and keeping them informed in the case of a life safety situation.
We want to meet you where you are. We don't want to force you to utilize Twitter alerts if you don't use Twitter. We'd rather you get a cell phone call or a text message about it.
But there are a number of hiccups apart from education. For one, some rural areas in the state don't have reliable cell phone and internet service and might not receive an alert. Virgil Sandlin, Cedar Keys Police Chief, says Levy County faces just that issue.
I can tell you from experience, not just from hurricanes, but like when we have our festival down here, that the towers just become overloaded and they don't work.
Hurricanes Charlie and Francis did real damage in Levy County back in 2004. But since the early 2000s, Chief Sandlin says every time the news hypes up a storm system, nothing has happened. He says people view it almost like crying wolf and don't really trust in forecasters anymore.
We've had the other systems that come through that said, you better need to get ready. And we didn't even, we have a summer squall with worse winds than this. So complacency will be the biggest issue that we deal with. Complacency and compliance.
But Cross City's flood came after a normal storm, not a hurricane or tornado. And these apps might not predict when a regular day's rain could cause such severe damage. That's part of the awareness aspect Kuhn and the rest of emergency management are worried about. I'm Marie Ettinger in Gainesville, Florida.
All those new high-tech tools are good news for those who track and forecast storms, but there's also some not-so-good news when it comes to some more traditional ways of trying to figure out what's up with the big storms. When a hurricane barrels toward Florida, pilots with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, fly their jets, nicknamed Hurricane Hunters, into the storm. The information they collect helps with forecasts and evacuation orders. The planes are housed at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, but not for long. The base is evicting them. As we hear from Topher Forges at member station WGCU, NOAA is now searching for a new home for the planes.
I'm walking onto one of NOAA's hurricane hunters. It was recently on display at the Naples airport as part of a tour to get people ready for the season.
In the cockpit, there are two seats and two steering columns or wheels, and a little Hawaiian luau dancer in between the windows.
And I move toward the back.
There's basically four rows of seats. Some have computers and laptops. They all have headsets and lights. It's interesting to imagine what it's like when it's completely geared up and staffed and the computers are on and buzzing and heading toward a storm. that they know could be a threat.
The National Hurricane Center relies on NOAA's planes to help keep track of a storm. The hurricane hunters drop sensors into the storm while on a mission. They take in data like humidity, wind speed, and temperature. The planes have operated out of MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa for more than 20 years, but this hurricane season will be their last there.
MacDill Air Force Base informed us on February 1st that we were going to be displaced and had to leave our current facility next June, and so we've got a little bit of time, but not much.
That's Michael Sila. He's the commanding officer at NOAA's Aircraft Operations Center. The base is evicting NOAA's planes because it expects to house more of its own aircraft there in a few years. Sila says the center is now looking for a new home. He says the search is being done in two phases, short and long term. The first phase involves finding somewhere to house the planes for the next 5 years that's within 50 miles of MacDill.
And that's really to protect the workforce. These are highly skilled employees. Losing them would be very damaging for us. And so in an effort to keep our workforce together, we're going to look local first, and that should be for about the next 5 years. And then in that time, we're also going to look more broadly to find us a long-term home.
Silas says there's value in staying in the same region.
It's nice to be able to work out of a place that gives us access to the Gulf when we fly Gulf storms. It gives us access to the Caribbean when we fly Caribbean storms. You know, Tampa really is perfect for that. And so we hope to stay in that area. We're certainly going to stay in that area for the next 5 years.
Since the Air Force Base made the call earlier this year, federal lawmakers have also been trying to figure out where to put the hurricane hunters. Republican Congressman David Jolly represents Pinellas County. He first hoped to keep the NOAA planes at MacDill by building a new center there, but that would require some funding jujitsu because NOAA and MacDill operate under different agencies.
And that might be a long-term solution to have them remain at MacDill perhaps after this next five-year contract. That would require construction dollars, interagency construction dollars.
As NOAA plans its next steps, Jolly says he wants the planes to stay local.
It is a regional asset for us, both in terms of protecting the public, in terms of public safety, but in terms of 100-plus employees who work at NOAA, ensuring that their lives are not disrupted, and also the economic footprint of having NOAA here.
NOAA operates under the U.S. Department of Commerce. Jolly says he's met with its secretary to discuss the topic and visited potential new locations for the planes. He says he would like to see the hurricane hunters move next to St. Pete Clearwater, which has both ramp and runway space.
They also have hangar space, and they have office space. NOAA could almost move in today. Tampa International Airport has some of that, but not all of it. But in the course of a year, they probably could arrange to accommodate those three important criteria.
NOAA's Michael Sila says they hope to announce the plane's new location around December. I'm Topher Forges in Fort Myers.
You're listening to Capitol Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally this week, the state of Florida's property insurance market is good. That's according to the Florida Insurance Leaders. But Lynn Hatter reports prices are starting to go up. And at least one insurance official is warning a perfect storm of issues could hurt the state if a major hurricane hits.
Joe's Bike Shop sits right on the edge of Tallahassee's Lake Ella. The lake is surrounded by picnic tables and a walking path. In 2008, North Florida got hit by a tropical storm, Fay, and the lake flooded big time.
I remember coming back at one point when I thought the water would be just maybe up to the top of the sills and opening the door, and a fish swam out.
That's mechanic Peter Burchell. Peter and bike shop owner Joe Mazzina ended up using a canoe to get their products and equipment out of the store. 3 years before Tropical Storm Fay flooded Tallahassee, the 2004-05 storm season devastated Florida's insurance market. Major carriers pulled out, smaller firms folded. In the years that followed, the state-backed Citizens Property Insurance Corporation ballooned and became the largest insurance company in the state, with more than a million policies. Today, through a combination of new state laws and an aggressive process called depopulation, Citizens has shed half its weight. Spokesman Mike Peltier says the company is back to insuring only the riskiest policies.
you know, what we've got left in our portfolio are older homes, homes that have greater loss histories, homes that are in geographic areas that are particularly risky. You know, those are the policies that Citizens was created to cover.
And as for other insurance carriers, Florida Association of Insurance Agents President Jeff Grady says they're back too, courtesy of more than 10 years, largely hurricane and tropical storm free.
No wind really helps that. So you've got companies who feel like they can get their pricing now. They feel adequately covered from a reinsurance aspect. And Citizens is back to where it once was in terms of a small policy count, not competing with those companies.
That lull has allowed insurance companies to shore up their bank accounts. But that doesn't mean everything is roses. And one issue keeping insurers up at night is related to a current issue called assignment of benefits. Basically, homeowners are letting contractors represent them in insurance claims. And the companies say that's inflating damage estimates. Here's Grady again.
Right now, with no storms, those inflated losses with roofs and water loss, those can be absorbed. But you put a large catastrophic loss on top of that, and Florida starts to have problems again.
Another issue lurking for insurance companies is the National Flood Insurance Program. It's more than $20 billion in the hole. Florida is number one in the nation for such claims. And insurers say nearly every part of the state is prone to flooding.
You're rolling the dice. If you have a flood, you really could have some serious financial problems after that storm occurs. So talk to your insurance agent. Find out more about what it would cost you to get coverage.
That's State Emergency Management Director Brian Kuhn. Despite the risks, many Floridians go without flood insurance. If a building is not in a flood zone, insurance isn't required by most mortgage lenders. Some people have dropped their coverage, citing the high price. That was the case for Joe's Bike Shop, which didn't have flood insurance when fish were swimming out of its building after Tropical Storm Fay. And owner Joe Mazina acknowledges the risk of going without.
I didn't have flood insurance and still don't, because it's a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, the amount of money I would have spent on flood insurance over the years would have been astronomical compared to what I ended up having to spend, which was still a lot of money.
Insurance professionals say consumers should get an insurance check as hurricane season kicks off to make sure policies are up to date and coverage is sufficient. 10 years with no major storms has the industry a little on edge. For WFSU News, I'm Lynn Hatter.
Regular Capital Report correspondents are Jim Ash, Sasha Cordner, Nick Evans, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, and Kate Payne. We also thank our contributing Florida public radio stations. Technical assistance for Capital Report is provided by Ken Smith, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Follow us on Twitter at FBR Cap Report, and please join us again next week for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capital Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. You can also hear Capital Report online, including archives of past shows, at fprn.org. Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. The Able Trust. 25 years of connecting businesses with workers with disabilities. Businesses are encouraged to interview and hire talented and loyal Floridians with disabilities as they seek to broaden their customer base and reach all of Florida's diverse population. AbleTrust.org. And from Florida Tax Watch Prudential Productivity Awards, recognizing and rewarding Florida's innovative state employees for their cost-saving ideas on June 23rd in Tampa. Sponsored by Prudential, the Florida Lottery, and AvMed Health Plans. WFSU-FM Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.